remember it saying, "Don't worry, be happy." It might have been a song, I don't know. But for a Christian, there's a lot of truth to that. Why should we worry? The Lord's, it's good to be on the Lord's side, but the Bible says that the Lord's on our side. That's even bigger. And so with the Lord on our side, we have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Let's take our Bibles and go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 26, and go just a little bit further here tonight and the time we have remaining. Genesis chapter number 26, and begin Sunday morning on this message, the legacy of the whales. The legacy of the whales. And we'll begin in verse number 12 of Genesis chapter 26. If you there, say amen. Bible said, "Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of the flocks and possessions of herds and in great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, 'Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.' And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, for he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from thence to Beersheba." Again, preaching on the subject, the legacy of the whales. And we mentioned Sunday, and we're not going to re-preach Sunday, but we mentioned the word legacy means something that is passed down from one generation to the next, from one ancestor down to the predecessor. And we spoke about how these whales are a type or a picture of the Word of God, and how these whales are a type and a picture of the church of God. And they're also a type of our home, of the children of God. And so then we moved on Sunday night and dealt with the first point and talked about the work of the whales and talked about how much labor was involved. And if we're going to have anything worth having, it's going to require work. Nothing worth having don't come easy or free. And these wells are definitely something worth putting the work in. The wells of the Word of God, I promise you, you'll never be wasting time and wasting energy or your effort by digging in this well called the Word of God. And it is work. It's very laborious. It's very taxing to really get into the Word of God and dig. I mean, not just skim read and not just do it to check off a list and say, "I've done God a favor today," but to really get in the Word of God, as the Bible tells us to do, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It requires studying and digging to get the gems and the nuggets out of the Word of God. And so we begin dealing with the work for the whales. And we talked about the witness that was invested, and then the welcome that was inviting, how that he planted the grove of trees there where it would be welcoming for those who would come. Then the worship that was involved, and all that was under the heading of the work for the whales. Then number two tonight we'll pick up And we're going to look at the wars at the wells. The devil does not like for us to tap in, and once we've put the work and the effort in, whether it be the Word of God and have dug down and got into the pure Word of God, and we are getting sustaining power and strength out of the well of the Word of God, or whether it be the house of God, this well that God has created for us, this life flow, this river that we all draw from and that helps us on a continual basis. And ain't you glad it don't run dry? And listen, when we tap in, and then the home, my goodness, the home is a well that, I don't know about you, but I love the Word of God, and I draw such strength from the Word of God. That's a well that a Christian can't live without. The church is another well that a child of God cannot live without. If you're going to make it, if you're not going to die by the wayside and become a has-been, then you're going to have to tap into the church, that well of water that God instituted for His people, for His children. It's a must. It's not multiple choice, or I can or I can't, maybe I will, maybe I won't. If you are going to make it as a believer, church, the well of the church has to be something that you visit and visit often. But the home cannot be overlooked or left out. When I have visited the well of the Word of God, and I've visited the church and drawn from that well, listen, our family, our home is that safe place. It's that place that we really draw so much strength from. Could you imagine if you were left with the well of the Word of God, and somebody has said, boy, just give me my Bible and that's all I need. That sounds good, but I'm going to tell you, I thank God for the Word of God, but I need the church too. And I thank God for the church, and I thank God for the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Without my family, without the well that sustains me at my house, I mean my inner core, the place that I draw the most strength from, the person, the woman, and the children. I ain't talking about brick and mortar, but I mean the people that God has given me, that great gift. My family, the home that God has given me is a well that is indescribable. The wealth and the worth that I draw from, and I could not make it apart from that well that I tap into and live at that place with those people, and neither can you. And with that being said, and it takes work, because the second part, When the devil sees well-trodden paths to the well of his word, and the devil spots out and he spies out and has his demons and imps of hell, and they see you and your car turn into the church parking lot week in and week out, and he knows our patterns and he knows our systems, and he knows that we are working in our home to become more Christ-like and trying to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The devil, the enemy that we face, don't like that. He ain't going to take that sitting down, and he will, wage war and declare war on you over the wells that God has given you, that you've worked so hard to get to and have. And so the Bible said in Genesis 26, verse 15 and verse 18, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." The devil don't like you making progress. The deeper you go with God, it's like you get one shovel full of dirt pulled out and you begin to see water. No sooner than you empty that dirt out, you turn around and it's like he's poured another pile in. And just because you get it cleaned out one time, I promise you, he will come again. And I know what the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And he will, thank the Lord. Ain't you glad for spaces of grace and times that God will give us when he puts a force field around us and he builds a hedge around us to where we can do some work and we can do some digging and get down to not murky, muddy water, but clear, pure water that can help and sustain and strengthen us as believers. Ain't you glad that the devil had to go to God and say, I want to get to Job when God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, oh yeah, I've considered him, but you got a hedge built around him and I can't get to him and I can't get to his wealth, his family. I want to get to his children, but I can't get to them either because there's a hedge built around that well. I want to murk up that well. I want to muddy up that well, but I can't get to it. Ain't you glad? God gives you spaces of grace and he knows when you can and when you can't, when you can handle a fight and when you can handle a battle, but then he knows when we're downtrodden and wore out and wearied from the battle and you've been digging so long you got calluses on your hand and your hands are bleeding and you're wore out and tired, and God knows, hey devil, stop, don't come any closer. He's there working and laboring, building, and he's digging deep for me and for my glory, and he's building a relationship with his family and with the Word of God and with the church of God. And you're going to stop and let him work and let him dig. And ain't you glad? It ain't every day, all day. Ain't you glad God gives you some time? That's called grace. However, when you do resist him, and some of us need to learn how to resist him. Can I give you a nugget this evening? Some of us, Brother Rackley told me this years ago, probably 15 years ago, and it never left me, and I thought he was crazy at the time. Brother Dennis, he said, Brother Michael, you need to learn how to talk to the devil. I said, that's weird. What do you mean talk to the devil? I'm supposed to talk to the Lord. It's called praying, man. Are you crazy? He said, no, you need to learn how to talk back to the devil. Because the devil's talking to you. You've seen those pictures. You got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. Well, that's a good picture, but the devil ain't going to come hop on your shoulder with a pitchfork and a red tail. But I promise you this, he will sit on your shoulders and whisper in your ear, and he'll slither up in your lap, and he will talk to you, and without talking back and without resisting him and rebuking him. And listen, we're no match for him, but in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and in earth, and we must learn how to resist him. And I mean, listen, talk back to him. And I ain't talking about in your head. You mean you really out loud talk to him? Call me crazy. Listen, I'm being honest, and don't knock it till you try it. Do you ever pray only in your head? I do. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about verbally, and I can prove this scripturally. That's why the Bible says confession with the mouth. There's something about speaking it, not just thinking it, not just talking it in your head, but verbalizing it with your tongue. Well, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's power in the tongue, and there's power in talking. And listen, we need to learn how to. Did you know this, by the way? The devil can't read your mind. So you say, well, I think it, and I resist him in my mind. He don't know that. You ever thought about that? You got to verbalize it. You got to speak it to him, toward him, where he can hear it. I ain't never thought about that, but that's the truth. Verse 18 said, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So as we look at the wars of the wells, number one, let me say something about the disruption. The devil is a disruptor. God is not the author of confusion. Satan, however, is a divider. He is the author of confusion and chaos and division and disruption. He wants to disrupt your life. He wants to distract you and derail you and get you off sidetrack, because if he can get you busy doing anything else rather than what you're supposed to be doing, like digging and clearing out and cleaning out the wells, you know, you can get busy doing good things and it ain't the best thing. And the devil's just satisfied as he can be, long as we're busy doing whatever and we still got muddy water that nobody can't drink. And so he'll disrupt. And the Bible said, use the word stopped. That means to stop up or to shut up or to keep closed. And stopping up the well, they stop the well from being used. When the devil disrupts us from digging and doing and creating that environment, whether it be in the home or whether it be at the house of God or whether it be with our relationship with the Word of God, when he disrupts and stops us from getting to the well and to the water, he has accomplished his goal. And his goal is to divide us and to disrupt us. The Philistines stopped the well from providing water, life, nourishment to the family of Isaac. And by the way, listen, without water, you're going to die. Spiritually speaking, without water, without the wells, those three wells, the Word of God, the house of God, and the family of God, you, without water, those things are going to dry up on you and die. We can't survive without it. That's why the devil wants to disrupt it. Make no mistake, the Philistines of today. You say, well, I ain't talking about the Philistines. That was them people way back there that was buddies with Goliath. We have our own Philistines. We have our own enemies in 2023. And listen, the Philistines of today are still bound and determined to stop up our wells. Just as they was doing with Isaac, just as they'd done when Abraham died, they covered the wells and disrupted and stopped that water from flowing. They're Philistines in our day and in our land that wants to disrupt and stop up the wells that have been dug and to prevent us from digging anymore. They despise the fact that we are not drinking their water. They know if they can stop up our wells, we'll be driven to drink from theirs. And if that ain't the world's mentality, they want to stop the house of God. They want to stop the preaching of the Word of God. They want to change truth and say, this is my truth. And they want to push on our children this perverted, corrupt mentality and not let them drink out of the water of truth and out of the water of the Word of God. And they don't want them hearing and drinking out of the water of the house of God and true, unadulterated preaching. They don't want parents teaching in the home the truth from the Word of God, that God created man and woman. They want to pervert that and to dry all that up. And that's why just right north of us in Canada, they're imprisoning preachers. I watched them put a woman in jail for standing outside an abortion clinic praying in silence. And they cuffed her and put her in prison. Why? To disrupt and dry up that well, to drive people to drink from theirs. It's what the Philistines' plan was then, and it's the same plan today. They hate the fact that we are not dependent upon them for our daily needs. And they're furious that we have our own source of water supply. The Philistines of today want us to drink only of the flesh, the world, and from the wells of hell. But for God's children, we have our own water supply that's pure, unperverted. They want us to stop up. They want to stop up the well of every Bible-believing church. They hate it.
They want to stop up the well of soul winners from being able to pass out a gospel tract. They want to stop up the well of believers and conservatives from spreading their message on social media. It's called cancel culture. They shadow ban and they people who are conservative in their values and people who are drinking of the same well from the scripture that line up with scripture. You put that stuff out there and somehow mysteriously it disappears and it's not spread and it's not shared because they want you drinking from their well, and if you don't, they will stop yours up and disrupt yours. They do not, and they refuse to allow the truth to get out. They want to stop the well of preachers from preaching against abortion and sodomy. Preachers can get up and be popular. Joel Osteen is multi-millionaire, and I could mention many other preachers. I'm just using him for an example, but do you know why he's so popular? Do you know why he's Brother Jackie's favorite preacher? Do you know why Smiley is so big and so popular, and why even Benny Hinn, I watched the clip, if any of you want it, I'll send it to you. Even Benny Hinn rebuked him and said, how could any so-called preacher say that you can get to heaven any way and through any God you want? I'd like to punch him in the nose. That's what he said. That's what Benny Hinn said. But do you know why Joel is so accepted and so beloved by the masses and multitude? Because he's not preaching from that pure well. He's been driven to pull from and draw from the wells of the world that says Muslims can get to heaven through their God and Hindus can get to heaven through their God. That ain't the well of the Word of God. The Bible says, be weary when all men speak well of you. And the Philistines of our day, they want nothing less than to stop any preacher that's preaching the Word of God. They want to stop the well of young people from knowing the truth about gender and marriage. They want to drive young people away from drinking from the pure truth into, from a very early age, making them think that we're the crazy ones. That we're the narrow-minded, that we're the haters and the hard-hearted for not being accepting and loving. And listen, I love those people. I love them enough to tell the truth and tell them the truth. I don't hate gay people. I don't hate lesbians. I don't hate transgender people. I just love them enough to tell them the truth, that from the well of the pure well of water, God said, not what I think or not what you think, but God said that there's man and woman and there's not in between. But they want to disrupt that and drive them at an early age to drinking from another well that will pervert them and pervert and pollute their mind for the rest of their life. The Philistines of today are obsessed with stopping the wells that our forefathers dug for us. Some of you that are much older than me, Brother Ned, Brother Jackie, much older. Listen, don't you know some of them old-time preachers that you grew up when you was young like me, and you looked at them old preachers? Seriously, though, wouldn't they roll over in their grave to see what we're living and even to hear what some preachers are preaching and to see what churches are accepting? I never dreamed in a million years that I would hear that Baptist and Methodist churches would be ordaining women preachers. And even further, I never dreamed in a million years I'd live long enough, Brother Stephen, to see them welcoming homosexuals in the pulpit. You say, who would do that? Have you ever heard of Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son? Says that we are haters and that we are too narrow-minded, and he that and not only does he welcome them to his church, he puts them in leadership and promotes them. I'd say the devil has been successful at disrupting that well of water. God have mercy on me and put me in an early grave if you ever hear me pushing, preaching, or promoting any of that. Because it's wicked and out of hell. The Philistines of our day's mentality is either drink from their wells and beg them for water for our families or die. This world don't care about you. It don't care. Listen, our enemy wants nothing more than to disrupt you to the point that you either convert to their way or die. And that's the truth of it. So then we see we're talking about the wars at the well, the disruption, then the desecration. Verse 18 says, and they filled them with earth. They desecrated the well. They filled them with earth. What should have been water was now filled with earth. It's fascinating to me to see that the same tactics that the enemy uses today to pollute the water that they did back then. The way that the Philistines will disrupt the well is by desecrating it. Notice what they used to desecrate and dilute the water of the well then. It's the same tactics. It's the same. Listen, it's been said many times, the devil don't have new toys and new tricks. He just pulls different ones out of the time. The devil's playbook is as old as the devil himself. It's the same wickedness. It's the same perverted mindset. And his goal and his motive and his driving agenda is to desecrate the things of God. And they filled the wells with earth. They took the common, base, filthy, defiled elements of the world and poured it in to the pure wells of water. The Philistines came and polluted the life-giving water with filth and earth. The Bible says in Genesis 26:14 that the Philistines envied him. They know what they have ain't real. And when they see us, they should see us serving a true living Lord. I mean, it should drive us and motivate us, and they should see something genuine and real. And when they really see true blue Christians, I mean, Christians who are sold out and spirit-filled and loving the Lord and living and what we say and walking the walk and talking, they envy that. They absolutely envy that, and they'll either be converted or they will desecrate what we're doing. It's exactly what they did to these. And keep in mind, Isaac wasn't trying to hurt them. Isaac was simply trying to dig his own well. And they envied him, and they came and desecrated and went to war with him. Notice what they did. They tried to stop what God had blessed and disrupt it with earth. The similarities in this verse is what happened in the book of Acts. Listen, Acts 7:4 said this, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Envy will desecrate as quick as anything I know. Whether it be a friendship, a family, a church, when you let envy get involved, it won't be long and that place will be desecrated. That water will not be worth drinking. And so we see the disruption and the desecration. Then thirdly, the discord. Verse 20 and 21, look at it. Bible said in verse 20, and God was with the lad. I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. And And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him, and digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Wells were a valuable commodity. Think about it. Everybody had to have water. And so, and we're talking about wars over the well. So when somebody had put the work in, somebody had dug the well, that was a thing of value. That was a thing that everybody wanted and needed. And the water that they provided were the difference between life and death. Whoever owned the well or controlled the water controlled everything. Back in Genesis 21:25, the Bible tells us that the servants of Abimelech had violently taken away the well. I mean, it come to blows. They literally went to war, violently taking the well. The whole story actually starts with Abraham reproving Abimelech for taking away the well he had dug. The use of the word reprove here reminded me of another place where we're commanded to reprove. Listen to Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There's some things worth reproving. There's some things we should reprove. There's some things we can't afford to keep our mouth shut about. There's some things we need to come out of the closet with and speak up and spare not and cry aloud and reprove and rebuke. When we get to chapter 26, we find again that the constant wars and opposition over the wells continued. And the herdmen, listen to verse 20, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with Esek. That's contention. And then they digged another well and strove for that also, and called the name of it Sitna. You know what Sitna means? Strife. You know what Esek means? Contention. Contention and strife. Contention and strife. That's what he named the wells, because there's so much warring over it. One of the most amazing things to me is how many church members are turned off and turned away by the fight. This happened to me, and I'm going to close here in just a second. Listen, I was pastoring down in Georgia, and we were growing. I mean, like, I think we had about 28, 30 people saved in about a two-month period. I mean, just God was moving, and it was amazing what God was doing. We got a burden and got to pray, meeting on Saturday nights and praying, and, boy, the next thing I knew, there was people coming from the woodwork just every service. There was just three or four new families here, and they were walking the aisles and getting gloriously saved and baptizing people. And we just hit a spurt of growth, and we had, like I say, about 30 new converts in no time. And some old mossy back Baptists, they didn't like all this growth, and they didn't like all these new people coming into their church. And they got to bickering and fighting and complaining, saying basically stuff like, this is my well. This ain't their well. You know what they were doing? They were desecrating the water. They were desecrating the well. And you know what happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. Some of those new converts, some of those, I'll never forget it, Matt's daddy, Matt Collins, he came and was gloriously saved, and one Sunday, I come in and he wasn't there, and his family wasn't there, and his son wasn't there, and his wife. And in about 3 weeks, there's about 20 to 25 people gone. I said, what in the world's going on? And I went to him, and I said, hey, what's happening? Tell me, if I've offended you, please tell me. I'll crawl on my knees and do whatever I have to do and say I'm sorry. And he said, preacher, it ain't you. Every one of them. It ain't you, preacher. But we got saved out of the bar rooms. And we got saved out of the beer joints. And we got saved out of the honky-tonks. And we saw all that fussing and fighting there. And we got saved. We thought we got saved from all that fussing and fighting. And here we are coming to church, and this is much or more fussing and fighting here than it was out there. And the well was desecrated. And we lost them baby Christians, swept out by the contention and the strife. So don't ever think that running your mouth and tearing down and sowing discord only affects you. Because when there's a hole created, it ain't just you that flows out. There'll be many young converts that will follow because they don't understand and they don't get why that saved people who say they love Jesus and love the brethren have so much strife and contention. Wherever there's a well, there will be a fight. The devil hates your well. The devil hates your church. The devil hates your home. And he and the Philistines of our day will do everything in their power to stop it, to steal it, and ultimately to destroy it. And tell what the Bible says about him. They've come but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his ultimate goal for you. He wants to desecrate your well. He wants to disrupt your well. And ultimately, he wants to destroy your well. That's your home. And sadly, he's accomplished that on so many levels. Just think about the homes. I'm done. But just think about how many wells of people's homes have been disrupted, desecrated, and then ultimately destroyed. Mom and daddy split, husband and wife separate, divorce, and there's those little children, and they don't fit nowhere, and their hearts are torn into two different worlds, and that well's desecrated, and that well's ultimately destroyed, and it has generational consequences. And the devil laughs all the way home thinking, I've got another. Now listen, if you in here, I use that as an illustration. If you in here, and I know many in here, my family included, have experienced divorce, and I'm not knocking that. It happens. I'm not. But you of all people should know the heartache, the disruption, the desecration, and ultimately the destruction that comes along with divorce. It hurts. It hurts everybody involved. And if you're on the other side of that, listen, you ain't a second-class, second-rate Christian. God loves you. God wants to use you. God's for you. I'm for you. But don't give the devil any more room to desecrate your well. Hey, listen, if it happened once, don't let it happen again. Do everything in your power to dig your well deep. Guard it, knowing there's an enemy. There's Philistines going to try to put earth in your well and disrupt you and distract you and ultimately try to destroy that marriage and your children. He will. He will. And so dig it as deep as you can. And as soon as you see dirt in it, get you a shovel and get it out and stand guard and stand up firm and fight with every fiber in your being. Because your well is worth it.
Amen.
Amen. If you want a well at your house, you're going to have to fight for it. If you want a well at your church, you're going to have to fight for it. It didn't get that, that well didn't get there by accident. It got there on purpose, not by accident. And if you're going to keep it, it won't be by accident. It'll be with purpose. That well, this well, your well, is a result of sweat, blood, and tears. And if you keep it,
you'll have to keep it the same way. Sweat, blood, and tears till Jesus comes. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word, Lord. Help us receive it, Lord. Thank you, God, for the warning. God, thank you, Lord God, for victory, Lord, over the wars of our will. God, I pray you'd help us to take this to heart. Oh, God, I plead with you. I plead the blood of Jesus over my own family, God, my own home. God, I thank you for the wells you've given us, Lord. I thank you for those that have dug wells in our life, God. The enemies, the Philistines, God, of our day have come and poured earth in and poured dirt in. God, help us to be mindful and grateful enough, Lord, that we would go and dig them back out, God. And God, protect them, stand guard. And help us to dig our own, God, for our families, God, for our church. And, oh, God, defend the word of God. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And all right, God bless.